Good morning again. It's my privilege to lead in to Randall Price, and we're so thankful that him and Beverly and some other entourage are here. I've known Randy for 40 plus years, and when I ran into him as a young man out of seminary, I really found somebody that was revved up about the Lord like I love to see. And he's still revved up about the Lord. Now, Dr. Price has been a pastor. He's a seminary graduate. He's a doctor of archaeology. He's lived in Israel. He has attended the Hebrew University there. His credentials go on and on, and I would encourage you to look at the World of the Bible Ministries website. It's loaded with all kinds of information, and also, of course, visit the book table that's in the back. This is a great resource to have him with us today. We are privileged to have him, and Doctor, would you come and speak to us, please?
Well, after that wonderful service of singing with the saints, I just want to retire and go to glory. But anyway, thank you so much for that gift to us. We've missed that. So many of you here are old friends from long ago, and to hear your voices raised that way in songs that I haven't heard in a long time was really great. Well, let me just say that we're grateful to be here this morning. Grace Bible Chapel partners with World of the Bible Ministry, and for that reason I want to take just a moment to say something about our ministry and what we do. World of the Bible Ministries brings the world of the Bible to the word of the church, because the word of the church is Scripture. Scripture is a content, but that content has a context, the ancient world of the Bible. We deal with the past, present, and prophetic worlds of the Bible, past being things that can be dealt with at the archaeological record, the present, a lot of times the conflicted Middle East conflict, because Israel is at the center of God's program and plan, and therefore what happens there is very much a part of what he is doing with all of us. And then the future, all the promised blessings he has for us and how to understand those, just as 1 Thessalonians reminded us, we're of the light. There's darkness all around us, becoming darker every day. And the result is that we need to be more alert and more sober than ever before. But we have to be aware of what is happening so that we can go to Scripture and take that Scripture to assure our hearts that God is still at work in this world, because it looks like he's abandoned us many times, as difficult as these days may seem. In our ministry, we've published a lot of books. In that book room, I brought a display table. They're books that I've written and books I've contributed to. So all of them are books that are the product of our partnership, your prayers, and things with us. And so just let you know some of the things that God has been doing. In particular, just a couple of months ago, the new Evangelical Study Bible came out. This is a full-color study Bible. It's done by the Divinity School faculty at Liberty University, of which I was a part. And I did all the archaeological notes here, as well as study notes on many books of the Bible as well, and particularly in the Old Testament. It's a great new resource because it is consistent in its perspective from a young earth creationist position, one that we think is biblically sound, also a dispensational framework, which we believe helps us accurately interpret the Scriptures, and deals with the messianic prophecy and things like this. So just commend that to you as something that you've also been a part of helping bring about. As well, we do tours. Some of you here have been on some of our tours. Now in 40 years' time, we've done hundreds and hundreds of tours and taken thousands and thousands of people. I invite you to come with us, because what we do is it is a Bible study in the land where it all happened. It's like driving through the road map in your Bible. And that's the perspective, and as you come back, we expect you to be even more a student of Scripture, more excited about God and his word than ever before. So it's a great investment in your spiritual life. This year we're taking Footsteps of the Apostles trip to Greece and Turkey to see the seven churches of Asia Minor and many more. Also, we're going to do our Israel trip, and that goes all over the land of Israel from top to bottom. So you're invited, and there's brochures on the table about that. Now, this morning we're going to do something perhaps a little different than what you've done before. I'd love to get into an exposition of Scripture, but there's so much happening at such a rapid pace that I'm trying to bring it all together for you. And in your bulletin, there's a handout. That handout has a front and back. The front deals with the human perspective, or shall we say, the human viewpoint of what is happening in the world. What the forces of evil by Satan, who is the prince and power of the air, but also we know the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. He has a plan. He has a program. And men who unwittingly falling into that program are devising a certain global agenda. And global means global. It means everywhere in the world this is happening. Maybe not some of the little primitive third world countries, but they're all going to be drawn into it at some point. And it's an agenda that is happening so quickly, and perhaps as many of us sit here living out our lives, we're not aware of all the things happening over in Davos, Switzerland, or things happening behind the scenes with the corporate elites or with many of the things in the political realm. I want to bring some of that together to show you when we get to it, the flip side of that, which is the very program that Satan and men are trying to achieve through a counterfeit and substitute way is what God has already promised, already planned, and will certainly accomplish. And so that prophetic timeline you're used to, you're going to see how men are unwittingly trying to fill that in their own power, but God will certainly do it as he has promised. So that's the plan here. Ultimately, it's good news for bad times. These are the bad times. This is the darkness. This is the age and at the end of the age. And as a result, we need to be more aware of what's happening, not turn off the news and hide our heads away and say, I don't care, but rather engage, be aware, so that we can pray, so that we can speak, so that we can say, God, every day your coming is nearer than when I believed. That's what the scripture tells us, and we want to demonstrate that this morning. Now, as you look around at the news, some people watch one news or listen to one news. Others want a more of a diversity, but whatever news you listen to, it isn't going to be good. You can see the Ukrainian crisis. You can see the problems with our food cost. You can see the problems with social diversity and the trans situation and environmental problems and, you know, whatever's happening in Maui. It's all climate change. Everything is blamed on something. But all for a purpose. It's all being driven with a certain agenda. And we hardly can sleep at night when we think about all these problems that exist. They're just surrounding us. But that only tells us that we are in the time God said we should be in. This is the end of the age. This is the end times. Now there's an end time to the end times is a final stage after Christ comes, but we're in that stage leading up to the time of the tribulation. And prophetic events often cast their shadows before them. So we're living in a shadowy time. We don't see everything clearly, but we're very much aware it's a dark time, but there's an outline of what is to come. And when we come to the scriptures, we see that all defined for us. So I want to look at the events that are happening. And they're happening on a global scale. We talk about globalization. The technical idea of this is an act extending an influence to all parts of the world. It invokes the emergence of a single world market, or deregulation resulting in internationalism. In other words, everybody doing the same thing under a central authority. Globalism seems to hold an answer to the world's financial, environmental, technological concerns, as well as social and even religious differences among all peoples and nations, at least from a secular perspective. So what could be wrong with that? You know, can't we all just get along? Well, we'll find a way. We're going to make that happen, whether you like it or not. Okay, that's the idea. All right. So as we look down through history, we see that there has been a human agenda to basically rule. That's what's going on. History reveals that globalization comes on the heels of conquest. And the Bible declares that anytime man attempts globalization, it results in rule by the wicked, ungodly empires. How could it be otherwise, since it's implemented by Satan, currently the god of this age, who's under whose influence the whole world lies? So this is what we have seen throughout history. And in Satan's plan, globalism is a situation wherein he owns and controls the planet, demanding worship from its human inhabitants. So we're pulling away the mask, going behind the curtain. The one who is really controlling all these things, Scripture declares, is Satan. But that's not what man knows. So let's look at globalism the way it is presented today. By the way, you'll never see a chart like this from the globalists. I've simply taken all the things that they're doing and charted for them. So we begin with what's called the Great Reset. Now, if you've heard the Great Reset, it involves global depopulation. And many of the things that are happening in the world today, from the pandemics to, shall we say, certain types of grooming and schools and things so that people do not want to produce a nuclear family. It's all very anti-family, less and less people. There also will be natural disasters, but not so much natural, shall we say, induced in disasters, all kinds of things, including war itself. So the Great Reset is seen by these globalists as the urgent need to cooperate simultaneously in managing the direct consequences of, first, the COVID-19 crisis. That's the first time this language and this became public. It was always behind the scenes in certain places, but now they just say what, you know, has never been said before. To improve the state of the World Economic Forum is starting the Great Reset Initiative. This is what was proclaimed there in Davos, Switzerland. Now, the New World Order is another term for it. Another term is Build Back Better. In other words, what's the reason for a crisis or a disaster or something? It's to remove what was there so that we can do it better the next time. Now, if you didn't think anything was really wrong with the world the way it was, and what's happening now isn't so good, you realize the people who are trying to build back are building according to their agenda and not yours, not the one Scripture has. This is the Great Reset, and it's everywhere. Klaus Schwab, who's with World Economic Forum, he put it this way: the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. Everybody is suffering in this thing together. Now we can all come through it together by submitting to certain restrictions and certain guidelines and certain government controls. And as we come out of it, you all are used to that. We'll just keep that going and add more. So our president says the quiet part out loud: this crisis presents an opportunity. And so this is what we're seeing. Time magazine had a whole issue on the Great Reset. This is not something that's just spoken of in the corner. It's very public. Depopulation is a part of this because some members of the World Economic Forum have the goal of reducing the human population from 7 billion to 100 million. That's a lot of reduction. This international depopulation is in harmony with the belief that humans are just material beings, no different or better than other matter. Environmental balance depends on reducing the human threat to nature. That's why we hear so much about what's the greatest threat today? Climate change. And who's bringing that about? You guys, okay? So that's part of it. We also hear one of the greatest threats are domestic terrorists, or the religious right, or whatever you want to call it. You can see how these are becoming threats that need to be eliminated. Environmental balance depends on reducing this threat. They think they are God, and the worship of the world will be just right when they have a smaller number that they can control. Now, this is something I made up. This is what is being written and spoken about publicly. So how do you depopulate the planet? Well, first, by natural means, a pandemic. We have that. In China, 400 million were in lockdown and quarantine. They actually sealed them in their apartments, if you remember. They couldn't even get out. Amazing stuff, that kind of control. Here is the statement: unvaccinated people ordered to stay at home or face jail in city of 14 million. That was here in our country. It happens in other countries as well. Australia, New Zealand were particular examples of that. Canada, many others facing this kind of thing. And Anthony Hall was behind a lot of the COVID research. He says, the COVID vaccine is an integral part of the Great Reset. So it seems increasingly likely that the jabs are part of a much larger set of interlocking projects. I'm being very brief about it. A lot of you are certainly educated on this. Another means of depopulating the planet is social means. And abortion has always been at the top of this list. The most endangered species out there are the human child because of abortions. We have, since 1973, when Roe versus Wade was made abortion on demand and it was legal, there have been 63,459,781 abortions in the U.S., with 3,000 occurring daily and over 1.72 billion abortions worldwide. That's a lot of folks. And of course, as you know, despite some recent help from the Supreme Court, putting this back to a state-by-state basis, still, according to sources, the upholding Roe v. Wade is supported by most Americans in the polls they have made. It's still what is wanted. You can see how vehement people are about this as you see the protest. A third means is economic recession. We're not quite there yet. You may feel like you are. People say that's coming. But we have an economic collapse happening around the globe. Running the global economy is an essential step. Ruining the global economy is an essential step in the route to the Great Reset. Because you've got to get it, again, you've got to tear down to build up. So the rhetoric coming from Washington and from London and other places certainly suggest both Biden and then Boris Johnson, no longer there, are desperate to exacerbate the situation, cause more terror, push up energy prices, and terrify everyone. That's what is being said there. If you look at economic issues, we have the worst inflation in 40 years, we have record gas prices, we have wages falling behind inflation, lingering supply chain shortages, and looming blackouts, and more to come. You saw what happened in Maui a little bit with their grid situation. You got that can be happening soon in other places. Only Texas has its own grid. It's an interesting thing. So we're a little more secure than others. These are all economic issues. They face things. The Economist put out an issue called the coming food catastrophe, because what we have happening is if certain types of foods sources are limited or destroyed. Ukraine was a major source for grain and things. It's going to limit it for the rest of the world. So it's just one, link in the chain removed, and it causes all these problems. If you look at the book of Revelation, it mentions that coming as one of the judgments in the tribulation period yet to come, that people will find reduced amounts of food. That's what the first passage, Revelation 6, talks about. And then it goes on to talk about how in Revelation 8 that the hail and other things came and the earth was burned up and a third of the trees were burned up and the green grass was burned. We're going to have these ecological disasters coming. People often talk about, this what we call the global warming. And I said, that's a bad thing? Oh, that's a terrible thing. Well, okay. But let me tell you, the worst is yet to come. And it isn't going to be done by man. It's going to be done by God. He's going to have some real global warming coming ahead. Now, a fourth means is political, and that's to foment crises in national entities and to have war. Because war then also reduces the population and causes great suffering from which someone has to reset or rebuild. So these are some of just the current crises facing us under the current administration. Look at this, the COVID crisis, and they say another type of pandemic is looming. The border crisis, the energy crisis, the inflation crisis, the Russia-Ukraine crisis, the nuclear agreement crisis, that's with Israel in particular, the China-Taiwan crisis. Everywhere you look, there's a crisis today. But that's an opportunity, remember? An opportunity to build back. So all these things are there. All we need is war, so it says. So Joseph Mercola said, the Great Reset is a globalist plan that is moving forward at lightning speed. The COVID-19 pandemic was part and parcel to that plan, but really fulfillment of the technocrats, their ambitions, is a war of some kind. That's what's needed. They need chaos, mass casualties, financial chaos in order to create the desperation necessary for people to give up and their freedoms and give into tyrannical control. A long time ago, when Francis Schaeffer and others were working, they said people will give up for personal peace and security all freedoms. They'll yield anything just to have things the way they want, to be able to have their Netflix or to have whatever it may be that's considered their creature comforts. They're glad to surrender to whoever will make that possible. And we have a generation that's more inclined to that. Here's a statement on Fox News. Putin's invasion of Ukraine risks global stability. Not just because of a war with Russia, but because of a war with China, because of many things that are tied together. This is how World War III begins, the New York Times says, with what is happening now. War in Europe that most people can't even place Ukraine on a map, and yet, you know, billions and billions of dollars are sent there, and eventually our troops are sent there. To fight for what? Okay, so these are questions. We also have the issue that our military is not in a state of readiness for the kind of conflict that might come. 62,000 were unvaccinated and removed from service. Good men. We have some in our family who were very good. They went into us for the career and they got taken out because they wouldn't take the vaccine. We also have now the bringing in of all of the trans agenda. Soldiers, is changing the face of many things like that. It's a different type of military. No, not if you're a Marine. Marines, it's, but if anybody else, it's really changed, the Navy in particular. And so we're having difficulties to face things. Also, there is the globalist mandate. And there was a book published that said the U.S. must collapse by 2030. So one of the linchpins is the problem of Western power, the United States as a world power and a defense for others. If you can demoralize or degrade or somehow remove that, either through removing our currency as the current standard, the dollar, or something else, remove us out of the way, that is part and parcel to this greater agenda. So we've looked at the Great Reset. That's part of what's here. Now, along with that, we have their plan, and this plan is for climate change. Climate change is driving everything. Global warming, which requires biometric conformity and a lockdown. In other words, the environment is foremost. If the world goes, everyone goes. So we have to get control of this, and everybody has to conform to this agenda. You can't be doing something that's considered harmful to the planet, like using fossil fuels or whatever it might be, all right? So if we look at this, climate change and global warming, that's the old term. The new term is climate change, but global warming was the original term. The world is being destroyed by all this. Polar bears floating on icebergs, you know, little chunks that are left. You have people who are advocates for this, particularly in college campuses. The youth are convinced to a degree that this is it. We only have one chance for this earth, maybe 10 years left at the best. This is urgent. This is what it's all about. Here you can see that, the idea of a doomsday clock, 12 years to save the earth. That was 2 years ago. I put that on there, so that's why I said 10 years. Wake up, you know. So there is fervent about this, saving the planet, as we are about saving people's souls. Because they're not even sure people have a soul, but they do know they live on planet Earth. Time magazine said, be worried, be very worried. Others say we demand a Green New Deal. We demand the government force everybody to comply to the kind of standards, you know, get rid of gas stoves, get rid of this, do whatever it may be that the government says is a problem needs to be done. And those who are violators will be punished, either, you know, through their employment or through other benefits they think they receive. Now, along with that, we have what's called, in the middle of this, you deplatform, you cancel culture. This is everywhere. This is how people are being punished. If you don't agree, there goes, if you happen to be on any of the social medias, you're canceled. And it's, for many people, that's a crisis. I mean, that of itself. Someone cancels me. I mean, if you have a business, like Mike Lindell, for his whole thing with MyPillow, because he takes a certain political stance. All these stores canceled his pillow. He can't buy them in most of the major markets. If you said some small thing, you're canceled. You're not on social media anymore. President Trump was taken off of, Twitter, because they didn't like what he was saying. So we don't have a free First Amendment rights to speak any longer. This is part of what's happening. The Green Initiative is what's supposed to help with climate change. In other words, a new world order, which will have, and this is their term, a world king, a global citizenship, a peaceable kingdom, a social mandate with universal, basically income. Everybody will have the same income. You won't be able to get more or less than others. That's what, not equality, that's equity. The difference. Equity is everybody compelled to be the same. Okay? And then global earth ethics and life extension. Because ultimately their end goal is to be a better human by not being human at all, by being a transhuman, a post-human, something like this. We'll get to that. But the Green Initiative is what they look as their ultimate salvation by making the world a place that we can live in. And really, it's not about us, it's about the world. I hope none of you saw this, but it was a movie on Noah's Ark. Okay, it was done by an atheist. It was a big blockbuster movie. And I had to go see it because that's one of the areas I deal with, and did a critique on it. But what's the message of the movie? The people on the ark are the problem. Okay, the animals and the world are the good. So Noah wants to put to death his own grandchildren who are coming because there's what caused the problems with the earth. The earth was destroyed because of man. You get the message? And so Noah and those getting off the ark are going to further that problem. So we just got to get rid of men. And it's a crazy movie, you know, but I got Nimrod on the ark eating the animals, and it's crazy how terrible it is. But anyway, and that's what many people, that's the only understanding of Noah's flood they have. They went to the movie and they saw that. That's in the Bible, right? You know, so that's what happens. We talk about control in many different ways. The first time we ever saw a sort of universal control happen is with COVID. Okay, the whole world had to buckle down and do the same thing. Didn't matter whether you were Christian or non-Christian, everybody complied. Whole churches shut down and could not meet, would not meet. Okay, I know some good Bible-centered churches that didn't meet for years. You know, and when you came back, you better wear a mask, because they bought into the whole agenda. And we have people like Anthony Fauci and others who were part of a face of control. Whatever he said to do, you did. If he changed his mind, you changed your mind too. If masks weren't necessary, you didn't wear them. If they weren't necessary, you did wear them. You know, you're supposed to be 6 feet, but 6 feet really don't matter. You know, it's on and on, these type of things. We experienced it. Now, we have, since his time, or his time is still, I guess, around somewhere, but we have Homeland Security and others introducing the Disinformation Governance Board, looking for fake news. All right, fake news is not the news that they like. Fake news is the news they don't like. Okay, realize that. Those in charge of that. And that's being done on a governmental level. The EU, the UK, others join in launching online disinformation policies, prompting concerns about a one-world governance of social media. So it starts by controlling what you see, hear, and think. Okay, and then it goes further than that. We have a Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act that's there. And this was in Indonesia. It was patterned after the one there. We have it now where we are. Executive Order 14067 was just signed last year, kind of quietly. It's one of those executive orders. We're not sure what it will do. We know what it can do. We don't know what it will do. But it's adoption of a global digital currency is what's being advocated, a U.S. digital currency. Legal government surveillance of all U.S. citizens, total control over bank accounts of purchasers, ability to silence dissenting voices. Not that they will do that. They say they won't do that. But the language of the law allows for that. And it's just a matter of who do you trust. If this kind of thing happens, the government will know your whereabouts, your habits at all times. You have a carbon footprint tracker that now exists of people can follow what you eat and where you travel, all for the purpose, of course, marketing and other things, but this can be used in a different way as well. You have globalists are taking over the food system, part and parcel of control you. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, look at this. Here are all the different type of manufacturers, but while we have hundreds of food brands that give the appearance of having market competition, and in reality, the food industry is monopolized by fewer than a dozen companies. All of them, in turn, are largely owned by BlackRock and Vanguard, which are the head of this globalist agenda. So that's how that control can happen. The idea of digital tracing has already been done. We do it. People have done it to their dogs and cats and other pets for years and years and years, but it is available subdermally, like a tattoo. And actually, the word in Revelation means a mark, means a tattoo of some. It's a mark on your skin, whatever it may be. And that technology exists. Bill Gates and others have developed it and actually push it. Vaxxed by machines, tracked by machines, humanity be augmented one cell at a time. These are all things I pulled out of different scientific journals that are saying that, talking about biocompatible near-infrared quantum dots delivered to the skin, very simple stuff. You know, we used to talk about the mark of the beast. That's a future thing, but the technology exists now. We can see how close we may be getting to the reality of things like this, a digital identity, what it means and why it's there. It'll be pushed to something very good. Listen, you don't have to have all those credit cards and all those identity cards and driver's license and fumbling for stuff and show up somewhere and you can't find which. No, we know all of that. All you have to just walk into a store. It reads this biometric thing that's on you, and it knows everything about you. Everything about you. It knows how much you have in your account. It deducts that from your account when you walk out of the store. We have stores like that now. You just fill up your shopping cart and leave. And it sends you a bill or deducts it immediately from your account. That exists. And so this is good. People can't steal your money anymore. Well, unless they're digital, you know, digital thieves. That's certainly possible. Example of that, when I was at Liberty, every week I would get this on my computer because I had an account with Liberty. And it said, Dr. Randall Price, this is how much you have looked at the screen this week, and this is what you have done, and you need to explore having this many quiet days and how many collaborations. It told me everything I was doing. I wasn't even aware of it. And that's done in a Christian school. Okay, so think about it. Okay, now, the last thing that the globalists want to move to is something called the metaverse. And the metaverse is a lot of things. It's a new reality It's synergy and event horizon deal with things most of you aren't aware of, but it's a convergence of certain things past a certain point where nothing can change beyond that. And they talk about this having a world ban, human solidarity, post-humanism, transhumanism. You say, what are you talking about? Talking about, first off, we already have AIs out there, but this is merging of humans and AIs in such a way that we lose our basic humanity, but become something better in their mind. So I'll show you what some are saying about this. The metaverse is a network of 3D virtual worlds focused on social connection. In secular futurism, by the way, their future is too. They're planning for their future. They describes an iteration of the internet as a single universal virtual world. Achieving human integration into the metaverse is the agenda of globally oriented technologies and their transhuman projects. In other words, if you're on the internet at all, okay, depending on your age, if you're on the internet and use it, okay, that's one thing. If you've gotten to virtual reality and put the thing on your head, you know, and seen that you can actually live in another world. There's some people from their youth on live in those type of worlds more than they do in this world. That's reality. And I had a friend who did an experiment. He went to a coffee shop and talked to people of college and said, do you think that, you know, you're living in reality or something else? And a lot of them would say, I don't know. You know, this could be somebody else's reality. I'm in their game. I mean, not knowing them. It's just there's no real sense of what's there. According to this article, humanity may reach singularity within just 7 years, the trend shows. This is if AIs take over and to some degree or become utilized. How many of you use chatbots? Anybody here use chatbots? Okay, you don't. Oh, okay. I tried it the other day. I was going to do an article on the conquest of Jericho. And so I said, I want an article on the conquest of Jericho, complete with footnotes, that defends the archaeological evidence for Jericho. 15 seconds ahead, a multi-page, complete with footnotes and bibliography on this. It was great. Better than I could write. Now, if I'd told it to do against the evidence, have another one just like that. And they've proven that the AIs and the chatbots and things lean toward the left, okay? For instance, my son-in-law did this the other day. He said they can draw pictures. They can take any image that's on the internet and make you an image. So I ask him first, I want a picture of Jesus Christ on the Mount of Olives facing the Temple Mount with the temple on it. Wouldn't do it. Would not give it to me. It gave me a guy who looked pretty like Jesus, kept putting the Muslim Dome of the Rock there. And we gave it an image of the temple, said, put that on there. Wouldn't do it. Would not do it. Then my son-in-law, he said, draw me a picture of Biden in prison. Okay? And it wouldn't do it. He said, draw me a picture of Trump in prison. Got a whole slew of images. So you can test this out. It definitely has its limits. But the AI can create things unbelievable right now. If you've never, these chatbots are available, free apps, you can get them and do this. It's amazing stuff. And it's a problem for the education because you've got people who want to use that. Well, Jim, is that clock correct? If that clock is correct, I need to move AIs. I'm gonna move ahead with some things, folks. Sorry for this, but I need to get to the stuff that's encouraging, not discouraging. We've got so many people. There's the giant out there. If you haven't seen this thing, holds several stories tall, with a type of skin on it, and it can mimic any person. Any person's voice, any person's image, yeah, and it's traveling around the country. It takes the form of any person and can sing and speak. Interesting, we have in the book of Revelation something that's like that, okay? I put some of that up. Digital civil war. We've got, of course, a worldview shift in which we have a moral decline in our country. Barnapool, 52% of evangelicals do not have a biblical worldview, and they don't pass it on to their children. Here's deconstruction books written by people, including Francis Schaeffer's son, who have left what they were originally taught. And this is very rapid and progressive, and it's not going to stop soon. Cancel culture, by the way, that is something Scripture also mentions. It talks about, in Luke, about people in the tribulation, delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends. They'll be hated by all on account of my name. That's canceling you, okay, in a real sense. When a culture abandons Scripture, as ours has largely done, it loses a biblical worldview first. It loses its moral foundation, which we've seen happen, and it invites God's judgment.
Yeah. I often go over time.
Brother, I will do that anyway. It's just how much overtime we want. So I'm going to abbreviate it here. Sorry, guys. But the Scripture does tell us, when the Son of Man comes, will he find the faith on the earth? I've often thought about that. I did a Greek study on it here. But the idea is that we're not going to, the world is not going to get better. It's going to get worse. That's why you have smaller and smaller numbers of believers. You don't find the world at worship. Okay, that's not yet. They're not worshiping the Lord. And the Scripture says they did not understand until the flood came and took them all the way. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We're going to have people who have no idea what's going on because they don't have God's word to inform them. Okay, so you see all this stuff I've been talking about. So our Bibles talk about all of this. They always have. So let's go through this same chart. You flip your thing over, you'll see. When we talk about the Great Reset, we already have that in the Bible. It's called the rapture of the church. All right, the rapture of the church will be a great reset because all living believers on earth will be caught to the Lord and we'll have a world of unbelievers. And out of those, God, because the Holy Spirit remains, will bring people, convict them of their sin, turn them to the Savior. We'll have 144,000 Jews at the very beginning who have this experience and begin to spread the word. So we have Jews and Gentiles called the tribulation saints who will be there doing these things. But it will be a great reset for this planet. If we have as many Christians who claim to be Christians in our political arena and all of a sudden they're all gone, a great vacuum happens. If it happens in a military, it happens across the board. It'd be a great opportunity for another nation to come and take ours over immediately because we have no defense. A lot of things will happen with the rapture. And global depopulation will be one of those. Okay, so God plans that, but he plans it for a good thing. He's taken us to be with himself. So the rapture is God's great reset and depopulation program. Scripture tells us that that will happen. We have people today wondering, where are they going to go? What will happen? You ever thought about, we have the UAPs, or UFOs with the old term. This is proliferating. Everybody's thinking about it. The government has now supposedly unleashed a little bit of their information. Everybody's talking about the aliens, what's going to happen. If you look at this, everything about this is quite spiritual, quite deceptive. Where there's no question that fallen spirits can take material form, whatever form they choose. And there are a lot of books and a lot of material out there written by good Christians who are explaining the UFO phenomena as a spiritual deception. So that's something to think about. But the question is, here's NASA hires 24 theologians to examine implications of contact with aliens. What if it's all true? You know, did Jesus come and die on some other planet? Are there unfallen planets? Are there people, you know, who don't? No. This is all, so theologians, because people have a crisis of faith, and they're having a crisis of faith over UFOs now. But it's all part of the picture. Here, I thought I'd just throw this in. A time traveler from the year 2858, some goofy guy on TikTok is claiming that October the 3rd, aliens will come and destroy our world. Okay? So they're not the benevolent folks. We thought they were. You know, but this is just the kind of stuff that people see and hear. Why would someone think that people would be taken off the planet? Well, because they are a threat to the good global agenda of the humanist. So you can see already Christian nationalism, the single greatest threat to America, fascism, does Christianity harm children, how religious fundamentalism hijacks the brain. They have all these things that are saying what you and I are doing and hearing just this morning from the Word of God is something, we're a throwback primitive people that need to be removed. And if the aliens do it for us, even better. Okay, so this could be an explanation for the rapture someday, who knows. Now, we've looked at that. The next thing is climate change. Let's just say that's the tribulation. You don't think the climate's going to change? It'll be a real global change, and God is going to do that. The tribulation is going to be an experience of that, real global warming. And we have many scriptures that talk just about that. A real global conformity, too, which will take place here. It is a crisis, and as a result, one man will rise along with a false prophet who will give him that kind of power. Again, what they long for on the humanist side will happen, but it will happen under God's program, not theirs. All right, so this Antichrist and the false prophet will be thrown alive into the lake of fire at the end of that age. But all authority is given to this one, all control. And they'll control everything. That's why you can't buy or sell unless you have that mark of allegiance to that authority. And that's what's already been talked about. There'll be a real alien invasion in that day too, but it's going to be of demonic locusts that are coming. I think this other thing's just a preview of that. And the king over this particular army is named Apollyon. You ever heard of that? I got to throw some of this in. This is, if you heard about, I don't know if you know much about the particle accelerator that's in Switzerland right there, as well in the Davos area. This is the CERN-Hadron Collider. This is an underground thing that is trying to create what they call the God particle. And if you listen to what they say, I won't go through this, but just basically here's what they are saying. They want to open a door to another dimension out of which might come something or we might send something through it. These are the people who are in charge of this, amazingly, to another world. And that was actually a picture of when they're running this thing, what it looks like up in the sky. But I won't go through that. Let me just say this is a film they put out to promote their thing. Talking about symmetry, this is the image of someone coming through that that barrier, and there's the individual. So this is a scene from their own documentary. You can see all this online if you want to. And this is they put this stuff. They have these satanic symbols all over the place. They're open ceremonies. It's amazing, but it's all right out there in the open, and Satan rejoices at that. The Green Initiative, of course, from the biblical worldview is the Millennial Kingdom, when all things will be restored and God will bring about His kingdom and His control. A kingdom in that day that will never be destroyed, but He'll have to replace the earthly kingdoms of man in order to do that, to have the final kingdom. But the Millennial Kingdom will be the reign of Christ and the saints on earth. We're promised all of that. The global reign of Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, ruling over the earth, as He said, sitting on His throne. These are things you have studied about, which you know about, that fits God's agenda. The right king in the right place at the right time for the right reason. That's the kind of global king that's needed. And then you have a restored earth, restored animals, restored everything. Couldn't be a better picture of what the human global agenda longs for but cannot accomplish no matter what they do. But God already has that planned. And then finally, we talk about their idea of the metaverse, this final age. We call it the eternal state. And in the eternal state, what happens? I saw a new heaven, a new earth. There it says, according to His promise, we're looking for a new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. And in this new heaven, all things will be made new. Okay? It's the creation that been subject to vanity, but now be set free from the slavery to corruption to the glory of the freedom of the children of God. And with it, we come to transhumanism. You know what that is? That is a new body, not like the one you had. We call it the resurrection body. And we get that, and we will no longer die. We will no longer be broken or weak. Nothing natural. It's all supernatural. It's something God has intended for us to live in this new world. So we have a physical dwelling that comes from God. It's called the New Jerusalem, where we'll be inhabited. We have perfect bodies, no frailties, no more gray hairs or cholesterol buildup or cancer or heart disease or wrinkles on the face, no fatigue or weakness, perpetual energy, no longer susceptible to injury or disease, no allergies, okay? All those type of things. Perfect bodies. We can eat food and not gain weight. Okay, how about that? Jesus ate food. He demonstrated that after in his resurrection body more than once. And so we'll be doing that for enjoyment, not for sustenance. These are all part of things on a new world. These forever bodies, no more death or mourning. All of that is passed away. So let me just give you some takeaways from this real quick. And it's this. Man's attempt to create a global government is, in fact, Satan's agenda to counterfeit God's prophetic program. Okay, that's what's happening as we see it. We're living in the final days of the kingdom of man, and as a result, this is the last assertion of Satan and his human will against, and human will against God. That's why all these things are happening as they're happening. Old passage to Jeremiah, curses the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. Blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. And then a second, God's global future for believers is an amazing new world of fulfillment and blessing. We mentioned that, okay? We'll have, our relationships will be perfect. Not a one of us have probably not been touched by human betrayal or abandonment or whatever it may be. Nothing like this will be possible in the future. No sin nature, no more cross words, no misunderstandings, no neglect, no rivalries, no jealousies, no competition or selfishness. We will all have a redeemed nature that will be complemented by redeemed bodies and minds and all of this. And we'll enjoy a wonderful fellowship together. And then blessed activities. We'll work. God has an immense amount of work ahead. Not sitting on clouds playing harps, but actually doing all the farming. You can find it all in the scripture. All these things are part of the future that God will do. And then finally, that we see Satan's counterfeit agenda now being aggressively followed on a global scale means that we are rapidly nearing the fulfillment of God's prophetic program. Okay? But you saw it on individual places in the past, but now it's happening globally, which God said had to happen in order to usher in these final days. So we're nearer than ever. People used to say to me, oh, you know, 20 years ago or when I was younger, people said, Jesus is coming. He hadn't come yet. I said, you're not looking at the right things. Jesus coming is the big event, but there's all these other smaller events that lead up to it. And if you're tracking those, you're going to see there are more and they're exponentially greater than they were 20 years ago. So yes, we're nearer to that time of his coming. God has chosen us to live in his time before the end. He has given us a unique place in history just before he calls his church home and unleashes his wrath upon the world and the earth dwellers who oppose his coming kingdom and persecute his saints during the tribulation. Our time is a time of spiritual preparation and sound of the warning to the world of what is to come. We are the only ones who can expose and oppose the counterfeit globalism today. May we recognize our special place and calling, and may we work for Christ before the night falls on this age of grace. Normal isn't coming back, folks, but Jesus is. And so may I say, we've talked about globalism. We've said this is good news for bad times. And so come to Jesus before Jesus comes. That's our message. Now, I know we're going to the Lord's table where we'll have the opportunity to focus on him. So please prepare your hearts for that.